Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our episode number 104, Pandemic Betting. Oh, yeah. Hey, we have to talk about that, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I'm going to start with the very, very good, the very, very good. But as always, thank you to our digital audience for showing up again today into a Western Pennsylvania basement to help us out with the show. Well, the first betting I'm going to talk about is betting on a vaccine. And I'll tell you, speaking just of Pennsylvania, and you know, you all have your own states if you're listening to us from the United States. I know we have listeners from around the world, but you know, trying to get a vaccine, if you're not a listed in 1A, you know, those people who most certainly deserve it, you know, those healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, technicians in the hospitals, obviously, they deserve first shot. But, you know, now it's opened up in Pennsylvania to those of us 65 or older. And Janie and I secured our first round of vaccine. And, you know, that was so difficult to do. You know, numbers are numbers. And Pennsylvania, I think, is 28th in the vaccine rollout as far as being effective. And it just hasn't been good. I'm not talking about politics, Democrats, Republicans. I'm just saying it just hasn't worked very well. And there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people in almost a panic mode, particularly people in their 60s and 70s, you know, and there are obviously people with health issues and they're much younger than 65 who also should be getting vaccinated now. So the rollout's been, I don't know, helter-skelter, but Janie and I have secured our first round, and there was a sense of comfort about that. Janie had some general soreness. I had a slight headache. That lasted about a day, day and a half, and now I'm feeling fine, and we'll be sent an email with a link in 21 days to get our second dose. The Moderna vaccine, of course, requires two doses, and we're very appreciative of that and very thankful. And boy, if there's any way we can help anyone discover, if we knew what to tell you, where to get it, we just spent hours and hours on the computer, you know. And it was always no appointments, or no vaccine. And I just got lucky. I found the Allegheny Health Department in Allegheny County had a site in Monroeville, Pennsylvania at the Doubletree Hotel. And we managed to get an appointment. And, you know, it was very well run, very efficient, et cetera. But it's just hard to get it. And, you know, some people have said just 5% of the people in Pennsylvania have been vaccinated. I don't know if that's accurate, but it can't be too much higher than that at this point, you know, as we come to the end of January, the beginning of February. So, pandemic betting, I'll put it bluntly, hey, we're all betting on a vaccine to change the way we're living right now and to open up America back and open and to bring, you know, casino hopping and gambling and shows and all that back. Well, if you had to pick an industry associated with tourism and restaurants, you should pick the casino industry. And then that might sound strange because obviously the slot machines aren't going full blast. The table games are not crowded as they once were. In fact, participation at many table games is restricted, you know, by social distancing, plexiglass, and so on. But what's made up the difference, of course, is sports betting. And there's a lot of concerns now that it's a gambling problem. I just wanted to be fair about that. There's a sense that maybe Americans are getting ripped off by sports gambling because it seems to be everywhere and people are talking about it openly. It's more than 30 states that have legalized sports betting online, you know, but the point of it is that's what America is. It's America's associated with freedom. And, you know, our position is nobody forces one to gamble. And I know there are people making bets online that should not be making bets online because that money should be going somewhere else. And I'm not going to deny that. But I don't think you need to punish everyone. Let's just get those people help, counseling. And in some cases, they just have to be ruled out. They got to rule themselves out because they can't stop it, you know, chasing losses, etc. But I can say with confidence that the majority of Americans who participate in what we call recreational gambling, whether it's sports betting online, have a point where they stop. You know, whether they're able to afford it or not, they just say, that's enough. I've invested enough in this, and you know, if I won, I won. If I lost, I lost. So we don't want to necessarily promote gambling for everyone. We're promoting always, and it's been a consistency in our podcast, recreational gambling in a responsible way. And that's what we want you to think about when you place bets, sports bets online. And with that being said, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. You know, part of me is saying Kansas City Chiefs and their young quarterback can't be stopped because they score so many points. But I'm going to also say that if there's one team that can stop them and match their points, it would be Tampa Bay. And because the game is at Tampa Bay, and because Tom Brady knows what's at stake, you know, this is his 10th trip to a Super Bowl, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. And that might come back to haunt me, but that's just how it is. Okay. And if you don't place bets, I'm sure you're thinking it's going to be a great game, you know, because two of the best quarterbacks probably ever to face one another in the Super Bowl, obviously, with Brady and Mahomes. But I just want to tell you that, you know, again, my point is, if any sector of the hospitality industry is going to survive, the odds are the ones that have sports betting are your best bet. And so that's pandemic betting. You know, go, if you're going to pick one of those, if you're buying stocks, it's the companies, the gaming companies that have sports betting, you know, in the States, where they have casinos and they have licenses to offer it online in that particular state. That's where I would go if I was going to invest any money in gambling, which, of course, is something that I do, you know. But that's what I look at. And you know what? I'm just speaking for myself and what you do, of course, and how you bet, whether it's stocks or professional football. Baby, that's up to you. But just to conclude, you know, in this segment, even though there's shutdown and there's the COVID-19 virus everywhere in Pennsylvania, gaming industry has increased their profits by 13% this year compared to last year. So 2020 was an increase despite the pandemic. And I can guarantee you that's not because of slot machines. That's not because of table games. That's because of sports betting. And that's the same story almost everywhere. It's sports betting that is supporting the casino industry at this point. All right. Talking about sports betting and table games, we're going to come right back with Crab's Talk and talk about what we call 30, 30, 30, 10. Can you do the math? That's 100. And we're going to talk about if you have the nerve to risk $100, this is the way we would do it, okay? So, you know, go to a casino with $300. You got three ways to win, baby. We'll be right back with our countdown and go right into Crab's Talk.
3, 2, 1.
Well, of course, 3, 2, 1 craps was a system we used for low rollers playing from the pass line, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the Fremont Street Grind, the Iron Cross. I use those terms at the same time because they mean the same thing. The Iron Cross is what's normally played on Fremont Street, particularly because you can play it for so little money when it's a $5 table, and you can drink for free. So if you lose at craps, you can, you know, get your share of libations there. But we're talking about not playing from the pass line or the double pass line, but after the point is established, to place the number 5 for $30, to place the number 6 for $30, and to place the number 8 for $30, and to put $10 on the field, and there you go. That's the Iron Cross. And I would like you in this scenario to understand that if a 7 is rolled while those numbers are out there, you lost $100. So, dear listeners, there's an element of risk in this. However, if any other number is rolled, not the seven, but any other number that the dice can roll is rolled, and you have bet the five, the six, and the eight for $30 each, and the field for $10, you're going to win at least $10. Yeah, so you might be risking $100 to win $10. Well, if a five hits, you'll win the $30 bet on the five. If a six hits, you'll win that, of course, or an eight. But you will always lose the field. So why are those bets bigger? Because when they hit, you can subtract whatever you have on the field, and in our case, it's $10. So what would we win if we hit a $30 five? Well, in units of five, every $5 you have on the five pays $7 if you win. And so you will have six times five. You have $30 a bet. So that's $42 you're going to win. Make that one, two, three, four, five, six, sevens. That's $42. And immediately realize you subtract $10 from that. So on one roll of the dice, you, my friends, have won $32. Let's take a look at the six and the eight. They pay the same, and you have to bet those in $6 increments. So, you know, five sixes is 30. So a $6 bet pays $7. And so you won $35, five times seven, right? And you immediately subtract $10. So if a six or eight hits, you win $25 because you subtracted $10 you have on the field. So here's the biggest question of all. How long do you continue to risk $100? Well, you know, if I was clairvoyant, man, I'd be a millionaire. But since the typical role of anyone playing craps is going to be eight rolls or less, if you get a hit, do you want to stay for another one? Okay, so say you won $25, and then, you know, the next one's a field number. So you don't lose the five, six, and eight. When the field hits, nothing happens to them. And you win 10, so now you got $35. Now you're going to stop? You're going to stop? I would stop at the two when I first start to play. And, of course, if somebody gets on a roll and I sense it, I might come back in for less money on the same system, you know, the Iron Cross. If I get two hits on a six or an eight, you know, again, they pay $35 minus the $10 I have on the field, so I've won $50. And I just came to the table, I would stop. And then what would I do? I would just say, I'm off on the five, six, eight, and I would stop making the field bet because that's a bet you make yourself. And, of course, when you say I'm off on the five, six, eight, the dealer puts a little button on there that says off. Now, you know what's going to happen probably. The next three numbers are going to be five, six, eight. But my point is, when I first get there, I want to build up a little cushion so that if I do lose $100 in, you know, one shot, I'm okay. So I want to take my time and build up a little cushion and play it safe, play it conservatively. That's what I'm talking about. And if there's a hot shooter, again, I'm going to get back on it. When a seven is rolled and you have a button on your five, six, eight, the dealer, it's going to be a new game, will take down the money that you have, which is $90, and hand it back to you. And that's a, I don't know, just human nature kind of thing. You won $50 and you stopped. And they went a couple more rolls, and let's say they were field numbers, all right? So you didn't win anything. You're still with $50, and you didn't place the field because you stopped. But then after two of those field numbers rolled, the shooter seven's out, and that's very likely, you know, considering the number of times the typical shooter shoots, it's going to be less than eight times. So all of a sudden, it's a new game, and the dealers are picking up the money from everyone who lost with their place bets, you know, or their combats with odds on the numbers. But they're handing you back $90. And that's the human nature kind of thing. You can kind of smile to yourself. I wouldn't laugh out loud, but kind of smiled to myself, you know. And the dealers will often say, hey, boy, didn't you make a good decision? Now, they won't say a damn thing if somebody gets on a big roll. But, I've been to the Meadows since I got my shot, and they told me I'd have about 60%, not the Meadows, the doctors told me at the clinic, I'd have about 60% immunity, you know, now that I had this first shot. And, you know, I'm still wearing, I have to wear my mask. It's a requirement in a casino in Pennsylvania. So I thought, well, 60% immunity is a lot better than having no immunity, you know, which I had before. And I took $300. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, I'm going to win $150 and I'm going to stop. Well, I didn't. I didn't stop. I won $200 and I stopped. So I went there with $300, came home with $500. Mock me if you will. I could have lost all $300. You know, it's just a random kind of thing. I could have bet the 5, 6, 8 for 30, 30, 30 and put $10 on the field and the next number is a 7. And I lost it. I lost $100. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And I know I get kidded a lot because I get kidded a lot from my friends about being a low roller, you know. But I just thought, well, you know, I'm going to go with, do some things I like to do. And that's the thing. I'm a recreational gambler. And I do what I like to do. It may not always be the bet that, you know, people should tell you that you would make. But I just like to make these bets. So I like to play the Iron Cross. I don't live and die by it. But I wanted to do it 30, 30, 30, 10. And, you know, when I won $150, I was going to stop. But I went a little beyond that, a little, you know, pumped up by my success. And walked out of there with exactly $500. And I walked into the place earlier with $300. You know, God, if I could do that, you know, twice a day, things would be pretty cool. But that's not what happens, you know. So there's always a risk. There's no guarantees. And we know we talked about this over and over again, right? Don't buy into the YouTube tapes that are going to tell you how to throw the dice. You know, I like to set dice. God, I like to set dice. And I have this thing about dice tendencies, you know. In this, I didn't really win the $200 because of anything I did. You know, I didn't take the dice because I didn't want to go from the pass line. I was just going to do this, so I just let the dice go right by me. You know, I pass on the dice to somebody else. And again, on the come out roll, I was off the board, man. You know, and I waited one roll too. I waited so it wasn't a quick seven and out. And then after that shooter established a point and threw one roll and got another number, I went 30-30-30-10. You know, the dealers had to hand them $100 and they put the 30-30-30 on, gave me back 10, and I just grabbed it, you know, moved it over from where they put it down. They don't hand it to you. And moved it to the field, and I was ready to go. And I had my fingers crossed it wouldn't be at 7. But it wasn't. Every time I did it, it wasn't. So 30-30-30-10 is a strange way to talk about craps. You know, it's like some kind of engineering program. You know, it's a 30-30-30-10. But that's what I did. I'm not going to do it all the time because I do like to play from the lines. But this time, I'll take it, and I enjoyed it. And I wanted to share that with you. All right, and again, I call the Iron Cross the Fremont Street Grind because if you spend some considerable amounts of time on Fremont Street, I'm not talking about, you know, you're there for a weekend. I'm talking about when you go into casinos and you stay there 6 hours, you know, 7 hours, 8 hours and gamble. You're going to see the 5, 6, 8 field more often than not. That's what people do there. That's what people do. And that's why I call it the Fremont Street Grind. There's other names for it too, but that's just one that I enjoy. All right. Okay, there's one more segment in the show. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come right back and wrap up episode 104, Pandemic Ready. Always like to tell you about some of the big hits recently in Las Vegas, and I get these from KTNV-TV Las Vegas. How about this one? A first-time visitor from Utah went home with a little cash in his pocket. He won $250,000 playing Pai Gow poker on January 22nd at the Orleans Hotel. Here's his hand. These are all hearts. A 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack winging. $250,000. And also, this was on Sunday. Last Sunday, a California man pulled 3 sevens of diamonds just after midnight on the Blazing Seven machine at the Paris Las Vegas. Hey, we have a listener from Colorado. That's where he gambles, man. I won't mention his name, but he loves Paris. I want to hook up with him there sometimes. But the hotel casino says the man was in good spirits because he was expecting a grandchild soon, and he's planning on sharing his good fortune with his loved one, and he's going to spoil his new entry into the family. And, you know, he was playing $1.25 a spin, and he went home with $132,000 from the Paris Hotel playing those Blazing Sevens. Oh, man, something else, huh? There's been some big hits during the pandemic. There really has. It's kind of amazing. I always like to give you a couple before we close out here. I know some of you love slots. I like to play video poker. My wife's a slot player. She likes to play slots more than anything else. And I'm video poker and craps for the most part. But I play some pie gal too, you know. So how about that, though? $250,000. Oh, my goodness. Wow. And, of course, there's been $1 billion won. Somebody in Michigan, huh? It's just too good to be true, right? But it's true. It's true. Recreational gambling. What the hell? But remember, there's always that danger of losing control, and just keep that in check. And I always want to be honest about that. Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday. And again, we thank you for listening, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Have a good one. Spring is on the way.